Fair.
Only positive critiques. Honest.
Various artists.
Albert Karu, Come Talk to Me, The Aperture of the Moon is an exhibition by artists Kalpana Pandurum and Lisa Crowley, coming together through their shared desire and interest in the lives of historical and vulnerable individuals in an attempt to look to and gather the collective consciousness of another. I had a chat with Kalpana Pandurum and Lisa Crowley about their individual practices as well as the show. Here it is now. Could we start off by each of you introducing yourselves and your overall practices, the key mediums that each of you gravitate towards, as well as the thematic and or material glue of your practices, the thing that kind of acts as this undercurrent between all projects?
So my name's Lisa Crowley. I'm an artist and I was trained as a photographer, and I've been working with sort of lens-based practice for a long time, whether that be stills photography or film. But in the last 10 years, I've become quite interested in working with text in various ways, whether that be through producing publications or using text in artwork. So yeah, I guess my mediums are image and text. Yeah. I also work collaboratively with other people. So sometimes one of my other mediums is the text of other people's voices.
Yeah.
In terms of thematic and material glue in my practice and what acts as an undercurrent, I guess one of the things that I've become interested in the last 10 years is, I guess, voice and who gets the right to speak. And that has made me quite interested in writing, particularly feminist writing and feminist forms of speaking in the world, whether that be, so I think about writing in a more expanded way, not just text, but it could be the corrections a female scribe might have made on a medieval text, you know, mm-hmm. 500 years ago, or graffiti on a wall or embroidery. So I guess traces of feminine voice throughout history I've become really interested in, because I think when you look at that, you can kind of come at those instances from an angle and perhaps find different ways of thinking about the world and one's place in it. Yeah, materially, I've become much more interested in the materials that actually produce text and the materials that produce how we look at the world, so film and grain and digital mediums.
Mm, yeah. Beautiful.
Hi, I'm Kalpana Pandurum, and my practice right now is primarily sculptural installations. I'm very interested in using found objects and even raw materials. Initially, I started as a painter in art school, and then I slowly changed and adapted, and now I'm more interested in sculptures, ready-made objects, and text work. My practice involves exploring the lives of my ancestors, who were a part of the indentured Indian system, which started in Mauritius in the 1830s. The undercurrent between all my projects so far has been identity and the memory of my ancestors and their lives, and also how objects carry emotional weight.
Beautiful. And I wanted to start off this conversation by asking what it was that made each of you want to collaborate with each other and enter into this material dialogue. Was there a specific material or conceptual conversation between each of your practices that you were really interested to navigate going into this project?
I think we both are interested in the lives of, like, the historical and vulnerable individuals and who are on the lower end of the socioeconomic spectrum. We attempt to gather the collective consciousness of another or of a collective. There's also, like, a feminine retelling that we do in talking about the lives of another.
Yeah, so just to sort of build on what Kalpana's saying, I think one of the things our practices share is a desire and sort of a feeling of one needs to try and look across to another. And clearly the relationships are very different, because you're dealing with your ancestors who experienced great violence and a real rupture because they were taken away from India and never returned. But I think one of the things we share is we're interested in how we might look to those people, your ancestors, my protagonists in my film who lived real lives, and how we might, like you say, give them some agency and how we try to do that, whether they be through looking at historical records or trying in a way to kind of imagine.
We both approach looking at the lives of these women or even my ancestors with distance. Mm-hmm. Like, there is a sense of space between us as the artists and the lives of another. And I think, also touching on what Lisa said, I've looked at a lot of research that is mainly just storytelling and like poems and songs that the indentured Indians would sing. There's almost like an urgency and like a violence and an anger towards what they're experiencing and what they're feeling, and they express it through poetry or like song or music. And from what I'm seeing through my research, a lot of the times their language is of like someone of a, and it's not like there's like a roughness to it and a realness to it. And that's what I'm trying to explore with my short stanzas and my poetry as well, like a short urgency to the words and how they're delivered.
Kalpana, you and Lisa have kind of entered into your own dialogue, but I'll just kind of reiterate. Within your work, you bring together 9 countries where Indian indentured labour was exported to through the presentation of a banknote from each country that was sourced by you from cabinet drawers, local currency exchange stores, and international online platforms. Could you speak a bit more to the work itself, as well as these residing stanzas of text that lay beneath each note?
Yes, so the first banknote was a Fijian $5 note, and it was just in my cabinet drawer. And that's how this whole project kind of started. And then I thought about all the other banknotes that associates with these countries and like the iconography and the text and how they're so powerful and significant to the storytelling, the historical storytelling of these countries, all 9 countries. Our countries where the indentured labourers were sent off to, and there's 9 of them. And Fiji was the country where my ancestors came from, so it started for me with Fiji. And then I ended up looking at other countries like Kenya, South Africa, Mauritius, Malaysia, and there's more. Mm. And something beautiful that me and Lisa ended up talking about was how the countries or the money have a sheen and like an iridescence towards them. Mm-hmm. And then we thought about how, or I thought about how it reflected to how the lives of these people and how they're also vastly different, and they are people with their own agency. The colours in the poems, well, they are influenced by the money as well. And in the poems, I took the first line is into blue, and I like envision me as an artist or others that I'm trying, other individuals in my community, in the present community, who are descendants of the Grimmett people, the indentured Indians, and to like enter blue and like, and also Dion Brand's text, she references the idea of blue a lot, and there's like this importance in blue. And I also think about the Indian gods and how they are blue, and how if one wants to communicate with an ancestor, we have to come into this like mental frame set of like really wanting to communicate and like understanding and remembering of their lived experience.
What you're saying, Kalpana, makes me think of a really beautiful, I guess, fact that different colours have different wavelength, and blue is the colour where the wavelength travels the furthest. Mm. So there's something quite lovely about its physical mechanics that also make it poetic in terms of this idea of trying to reach out across space and time to ancestors.
Now, Lisa, your film considers several protagonists artists drawn from the historical record, a scribe, an attendant, and a sculptor, in which their labour acted in different ways to maintain both class structure and state power in ancient Mesopotamia. Could you speak a little bit more to your film, as well as its unusual viewing times, which are screening once a week at 11 p.m, bringing people perhaps more into a conscious effort made by the audience to access this moment of the threshold?
Yeah, sure. Maybe start with the moment of the threshold first. So the film I've made... in the gallery, if you go to the exhibition, you'll see Kaupana's money and her beautiful red sort of fragmented stanzas written on the wall under it. And then my work is just a poster advertising a film screening. And the film screenings happen once a week on Thursday night at 11 p.m. The film goes for about 20 minutes. And the reason it's at that time is the title of the film is The Aperture of the Moon, so it takes the idea of the moon as this planetary object that I guess almost eternally moves through the sky. And it's smaller than the Earth, and it has a gravitational magnetic pull on the Earth, so the moon is what causes the tides. So I like that as a code, a way into the film. And I guess in some ways I wanted to quietly, softly mirror one of the problems in the film, which is, as I've said, how do we look at another across space and time? And the film considers these people from, you know, ancient history. And I think in order to do that, one needs themselves to be perhaps settled, to have the busyness of the day cleared away. And I think that we all live our lives in very, very different ways. You know, people have jobs that happen at different times of the day. People earn different amounts of money. And I like how that space just before midnight is the space where the night changes to day. So it's literally a threshold space. But it's also, to some degree, a moment where people who might come from different walks of life can gather together, and the structures of their daily life can sort of calm down and not go away, but settle a bit. So it's a moment where those differences might be less present. So I like that idea of perhaps building some kind of soft connection as an audience watching the film. And in terms of the film, I guess it's in some ways it's very simple. It just tries to, through the act of looking, as I've said before, at archival material. So a clay tablet that is signed by a female scribe, her name is on it, which is sort of a list of words, and it's almost like a proto-poem. So she didn't write it, but she... scribes would just practice writing these words as a way of learning how to write. But that tablet is quite unusual. And then another object is a photograph of a doorway in a palace where we know an attendant worked, because she is listed in a list of wages. And then the third object is a sculpture of a woman's head from the same area. And I won't go into it too much, but I'm interested in Mesopotamian culture because that is, I guess, one of the origin points of writing and therefore sort of voice and expression. So I'm trying to, through practicing very careful looking at these objects and describing them and reflecting on what happens to me as a looker towards them, I'm trying to open up a space for thinking about the lives of these people that in some way... I guess like Kaupana was saying with her work, attempts to reveal the agency that they would have had in their lives in different ways. Yeah.
Beautiful. And now that the works are in the space together, in this kind of active dialogue, how do you think that the works are responding to one another? And in this, in working in relation to one another, did it shift both of your usual modes of making and kind of like working in this collaboration, bring something new to each of your practices?
Yeah, I think there's a few things that are happening with the works together, and it was really great being able to work together. We would sort of meet, I don't know, once a month and just talk about our works as they were progressing. I think there are some quite simple practical or material things that have happened. I think Kalpana's red text written on the wall is kind of a form of scribing, so there's this kind of bleeding out or tainting of some of the ideas in my work that are also present in Kalpana's work. When we were reading her poetry, we sort of, that idea came up to write them on the wall. But I think something I'm really, that's been very helpful for me from Kalpana's work, she's written these sort of, are they like 3 or 4 or 5 line stanzas under each note? So they're like a fragment of a poem. And the way Kalpana, I guess, for me, writes and takes these stanzas and says, well, I'm not writing the whole poem. One stanza is enough to sit under this one note of money. It really caused me to reflect more on fragmentation and pieces and how a fragment can really be quite a generous thing in terms of providing the viewer with a bit of a challenge to think about, well, if I'm not seeing the whole poem or I'm only seeing a broken part of a clay tablet, one is put into a space where one needs to think about, well, where did that fragment come from? Where is the rest of it? You're sort of thinking about distance and your relationship to it.
Mm.
And I think that's a really lovely method for mirroring the sort of relational impulse in our work to look to those that we're trying to think toward.
I would also say that both our works kind of do deal with the idea of the scribe. We first started with etching, and with a thin needle, the words of my text onto the wall for my stanzas, and there was like the whole scribey energy to it, and how someone or one of these women or fugitive would, that's how they would be able to tell their story, and that's how they would be able to record their mark in history. So this describe that idea that is very present in both of our works. Also, I love Letha's method of like listing the key ideas or the key words, and the like there's this anger that and felt violence that I'm also trying to speak to with my stanzas, and it's also in Lisa's film.
And what is important about these works and the ideas each of you navigate for contemporary audiences now? What about the world today would benefit from experiencing these works?
I think with my work, I'm just trying to remember and like reflect on what happened to my ancestors. And I know that I only recently found out about their stories only like probably 2 years ago at university. So I think that my generation and like people who were born in the early 2000s, they probably don't have any knowledge about what happened to their ancestors. And it is something that's kind of not spoken of, at least in my family. And it's like, there is this distance where like, people have moved on from it, but I think it's really important to remember and reflect and bring awareness and also create a community for this like displaced group of people in Kenya or someone from South Africa, and being able to talk about this and like form bonds.
Lisa?
The film was very, very simple. It's basically got 2 images in it, and most of the content is in the voiceover. And the voiceover really is me reading a script I've written, which talks about looking at these objects that I've mentioned, or these photographs. Actually, to be more correct, it's not talking about looking, it's talking about how to see these objects, and how to perhaps, without sort of mining them too much or projecting one's own sort of ideas into them, how to perhaps recuperate the traces of the life of another. And that life was a life that was often subjugated. So clearly Kalpana's talked about how her relatives were subjugated, but I'm interested in how a palace attendant never left a mark in the world, and she was paid quite poorly, and, you know, we don't know how much she worked, but that she represents someone in a class and an agenda of which there is no trace in the world. So I guess I'm really interested that the voiceover is really me trying to figure out and practice ways of looking at artifacts in order to look at and approach and see the life of another. And sure, the content I'm dealing with is Mesopotamia, which might seem a bit random, but that's really just because that's where gender and class were first structured into a kind of civic social ordering. But I think that practice of looking towards others who in the present day have had the right to leave a mark taken from them. My hope is that the practice I'm trying to work through in the film might be one that can be applied to other contexts as well.
That was Kalpana Pandurum and Lisa Crowley talking to me about their current show at Room, Our Bat Karu, Come Talk to Me, The Aperture of the Moon, which is on at Room until the 23rd of August. Also, Crowley's film screenings are every Thursday at 11 p.m. at Room. You can book a place to the free screenings through the link in Room's Instagram.